First things first, Jim, congratulations on your win last evening.
Well, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
You know, there's the power of the incumbency, but that's some kind of, and you and I talked about this, that's sometimes muted. And I think a good example here of Ron, because of his past experience in the Williamson County Commissioner's Office, but you pulled out. And why do you think that was, Jim? I mean, you've had some time to process this. What do you attribute to the win to?
Tom, you know, I've got more friends than what a lot of people realize, Tom, and I think it's just people know that I've been in there and I've done the best that I could do. I think people see that. The voters see that, and they see right through everything. I'm always there for the voters. Anybody has any questions, they can give me a call, or just whatever. It's just being in touch with the voters.
And, you know, I also saw you ran some endorsements. So you did some of that on social media as well. But, you know, yeah. When you look at the turnout last night, is there any significance you assign to this? I mean, when you look in Williamson County, there are 45,341 voters, 10,064 voted. Last night, ballots polled, Democrats polled 1,890 ballots, the Republicans polled 8,174. That may be more about the number of candidates than the number itself. I'm not sure. How do you interpret it?
Well, you know, I knew it was going to be a big Republican year, and we're not done with it yet. This November will be a big Republican turnout as well. But I do think there are a lot of crossover votes from the Democrat side, whether they voted for me or whether they voted for my opponent. There is a number of Democrats, I believe, that are fed up with their party. Their party doesn't hold the values that a lot of Democrats hold. I know that for even my own family. I had this conversation with my father a long time ago. He was 90 some odd years old, and I didn't want to argue with a 90-year-old. But you know, he'd been voting FDR Democrat since 1942.
Right.
And but I think and I kept telling him, Dad, the party's left you. You don't believe in the values. Now, I'm not talking on a local level. I'm talking on a national level. Local level, you've got good people in both parties. You really do. It's tough for people to switch sides, but I think in light of today's environment and what you read in the paper and see on the news on national and state levels, people are tired, and people have finally decided to make the switch to Republican and vote Republican.
Well,
and,
if there's no Democrats on the ballot, how do you vote Democrat? You know, there weren't.
Exactly.
I mean, it maybe there was a dearth of voters, but there was also a dearth of candidates across the ballot. Your race is not a good example, but there are others that are.
Yes, and you know, this is a pendulum that does swing both ways, Tom. Right now, it's swinging in the way of the Republican Party. Hopefully, we can continue that swing, but as time goes on, you don't know. It has swung in the other direction as well.
You know, because when you take away, and this is my math, so you have to realize, math's not my strong point. I've got that you won by 238 votes.
That's pretty close to it, yeah.
And there are some uncounted votes that I think mail-in that don't get voted for a couple of weeks. Is there any possibility that the outcome is questioned when you have 238 vote separation?
It's been my experience, Tom, that a lot of those are the military vote that hasn't come in yet, or even some of the early, absentee votes. But they have to be postmarked yesterday, and they have to be received by 2 weeks from today. In my experience, I've only seen maybe 15 to 20 votes come in that make it, after the election is done, right before, until the election is certified, which will be in 2 weeks.
You know, what I find interesting about this, Jim, is, and I know you're already in this rather deep in the funnel. Maybe some others don't think about this, because the fact is your opponent was very well informed. He was had experience. And the fact that these things are brought up, doesn't matter what the subject matter is. Of course, we're talking about almost $10 million, which is Ron Ellis had been talking about in spending. But it serves a valuable purpose, I think, the election process itself. I'm curious on your thoughts, because it gets us talking about things that need to be talked about. And quite frankly, I find it a learning process. I mean, I'm in your county. I have a vested income and invested in the outcome of your and the rest of the county commissioners' work for the well-being of my county and its financial viability. I mean, you got a thought here?
Well, Tom, I've always said, you know, this is kind of the reason why I got involved with politics in the beginning. You know, government controls every aspect of your life, so why not take a part? And, you know, even though the $10 million was accounted for, and it's all been publicly displayed, we've not hidden anything on that at all. We're in a, as I explained before in your show, we're in a cash basis. Our budget is on a cash basis, which means you have to recognize all your revenues and anticipated revenues. And plus, the point that my opponent failed to understand was new growth. And that was the difference that a lot of times maybe I didn't bring that quite out because I just assumed, and this is the trap that I fall into, I assume people understand what I'm talking about. But as my wife told me, dumb it down, dumb your message down. And I'm not saying that, you know, people can't understand it all, but we get in these habits of talking about using the nomenclature that we're familiar with. Well, if you're not in the political circles or anything like that, you don't know what we're talking about when we're talking levies. What's a levy? What's an extension? You know, what's new growth? What's CPI? We understand it, but the general, sometimes we fail
what's
to understand
PTEL?
That the general public doesn't understand it.
What's PTEL?
And
that's my favorite. What's
yeah, exactly. What's PTEL? It's very complicated. And Tom, I've said this all along. Government is just flat confusing. It is just confusing. And it's difficult to understand. And one thing about politics, I've said this before, you can take any topic and make it a talking point. You know, Tom?
I do it for a living.
And
yeah.
And so, you know, you're always on your heels, it seems like, because somebody says, well, what about this or what about that? But, you know, in reality, I understand there's no issue there at all, and including that $10 million that my opponent was talking about. You know, we had to recognize all the revenues in this year. And unfortunately, it all started with that late tax bill. But honestly, everything we've done is an open book.
Okay, and now, Jim, I want to make a commitment to you right now, buddy. If you feel that you need to speak to the residents of Williamson County at any time on this issue of transparency, you already know this, but I'm going to make this a public thing here. Anytime you or any of the other two commissioners feel you need to make a statement to explain something, I will make time for you.
I appreciate that, Tom.
Okay, and you can tell Jim and the rest of the gang there, tell them, you know, they've all got my number, I think. I know Jim does. I'm not sure the third. But, you know, anytime. I mean, this question about transparency, I'm here to help. And, you know, I've made that offer. So now it's up to you to be able to pick that and what's important because I may not know about it. And maybe we can help you with that. All right, now here's a message from a Marion resident. Says, Mr. Marlowe, your campaign ad on WJPF helped me make my decision to vote for you. You were humble and very kind. So a message there coming in from one of your constituents in the county here as we speak. Now, and here's another text. What's PTEL?
Property Tax Extension Limitation Law. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, now you know why it's an acronym. But it's a limiting, it's a governor on government and how much they can tax.
Exactly. So in other words, as my opponent, well, whether he claims it or not, I'm not going to argue that point. But if we were to raise property taxes by $10 million, that would be flat out against the law because that would be a 50% increase. And according to PTEL, which is what we're governed by, 5% is the max that we could ever raise property tax. Basically, it's CPI plus new growth, and it averages out to about 2 to 5% every year. It's like a cost of living increase. Tom, that was brought in 1996 and voted on by the public and passed by the public. So, in other words, we can't pass or raise taxes 20-25% to build a new building here, there, whatever we want to do. We can't do that.
Right.
We are governed by PTEL. There are 102 counties in Illinois, and I believe about 33 of them are PTEL counties.
Let's talk some business. You ready to talk some business?
Sure.
Did the investment?
I've got all the time in the world. I'm picking up signs today, so
I've got some over by my street. Hurry up.
All right.
the neighborhood dogs are going to be unhappy about it, but they need to go. Now, here's a couple questions for you. Real blunt.
Yes, sir.
Was the investment in Walker's Bluff and the roads and the water worth it?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. The jobs that they've created, absolutely. You know, that is Walker's Bluff. Now, we're talking about the casino. We did not build the casino. I want everybody to understand. We did not build a casino. The casino was built by Elite Casinos. That is their casino. We just built the road from Reed Station Road, the extension to Walker's Bluff, because that's the best route to get to it. Bottom line, no road. I asked this question at one of our meetings with Elite Casinos. What if we don't build this road? Then no casino. Tom, a casino is a revenue-generating engine. That is revenue coming into the county. Now, true, we got a road to pay for. We're going to be using the money, for the revenue from the casino to pay this off. If we didn't receive the casino money, no, we wouldn't have built that road. There's no way. But this is also an investment for the future. When that road is paid off for future boards, this is revenue coming in for future boards.
All right.
And secondly, the jobs, the number of jobs that they created, part-time jobs and the full-time jobs. All the laborers and the pipe fitters and the electricians and that built that casino, you know, that money, it was local labor. And that money stays in this area and is generated. People buy homes. People buy groceries with that money, buy gasoline, buy cars. You know, so that money cycles over and over. It was a no-brainer for us, Tom. We went through some issues with it. We had a lot of obstacles to overcome, but we were able to, for the most part, get over all those obstacles.
Okay, now here's my, I'm not going to call this crystal ball. You don't have to be a scientist to figure this out. I think one of the biggest obstacles in front of your board right now will be how to deal with white ash.
Not really.
Good.
And I'll say this.
Tell me why.
White ash sewer system is complete. We used ARPA money and gave them a brand new sewer system. We gave, now this is what this money was set up for. Now let me make one thing clear with the ARPA money. ARPA, by the way, once again, I'm talking acronyms, American Rescue Plan Act money. This is money that came from the federal government. And there were certain parameters on how we could use this money. Water sewer infrastructure was one of them, one of the biggest ones. But one thing was one of the parameters that we could not use the money for was property tax relief. As much as we would have loved to have placed that on property tax relief to lower property taxes, we couldn't. That was set up by the federal government. So we couldn't use it for that. So we used it for water sewer infrastructure. White ash, we gave, and we received, I think it was a little over $12 million. We gave White ash we set aside $737,000 for a brand new sewer system. Now, what we'd like to do, because we do not own that sewer system and no one owns that sewer system currently, we would hope that Johnson City will take this over because Johnson City does treat that sewer system. But my opponent wasn't aware, evidently, that we took care of that issue. They've got a brand new system. So we're waiting to meet with Johnson City. Hopefully that'll go through. If not, they will have to create a sewer district, much like a water district.
See, and that way that's kind of because you were talking about the water system, and I was talking about administration because isn't the board basically in charge of White Ash now?
No. No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. We never were in charge of White Ash. We just helped facilitate, because when they dissolved, everybody was looking, well, who's going to pay the water bill? How does Johnson City get their money? How does Pittsburgh get their money? Because they get their water from Pittsburgh, and Johnson City treats the sewer.
Good.
So we just said, listen, we'll just help facilitate the payments. We make no money off of White Ash at all. We do not make a profit. Johnson City is the only entity making profit off of White Ash.
I didn't
think always will be.
I didn't even think they had officers in White Ash anymore, city officers.
They don't. So if Johnson City does not want to take it, then White Ash area will have to create a sewer district, and they will create a board, and then they can levy on the tax bill from the White Ash residents of White Ash only.
All right.
Just like, you know, a water district would.
Good.
And then they can pay for a maintenance man and everything, because even though they have a new system, they're going to have to maintain that system.
Okay, good.
And that's what happened last time.
And that's where the board and then get the district and the elected officials so they can levy and keep the system
exactly.
up. Exactly. And not get in the situation they were.
It's not, right, it's not going to be a community board. It's just going to be a sewer district board.
Right, gotcha. All right, so administration, so the board is kind of in control of White Ash in some ways anyway. Here's a question about our PTEL thing. And I'm going to squeeze this in. I was hoping we'd wrapped up by now, but I find this question compelling. This comes in from Greg, and we were talking about PTEL when this came in. He says, I'm sorry, but farmland and vacant lots are having $400,000 houses built on them. The county's tax revenue should be higher and higher every year. The percentage shouldn't have to be adjusted higher. And once again, this is something that touches on two subjects, the PTEL and all this and the property taxes. But also the fact you're talking about, you know, you can look at future revenues and anticipate those. And you do see a lot of new construction in your county.
Correct. That's the new growth. Correct. And we have to capture that new growth the year that it comes on. Otherwise, we lose it forever. There have been boards in the past, I would say probably in the late 90s, that did not capture new growth. So millions of dollars were lost that can never be recovered. Simply because they didn't want to capture this new growth. But that's the way PTEL is set up. A lot of people who are property owners now don't understand PTEL because they weren't around when PTEL was put on the ballot as a referendum and passed. They have no idea what PTEL is. A lot of the older property tax owners, yeah, they're the ones that voted for this.
Right.
So it is what it is, and we are limited. I'm more than happy if whoever sent that text wants to get a hold of me, and we can sit down with the assessor, and we can have a good conversation, and we'll look at whatever they're talking about, and hopefully we can give them the answer that they're looking for.
All right, Greg, so there's your invitation to call Jim. Hey, I kept you longer than I should have. Man, I can't tell you much. I appreciate you pinch-hitting for Congressman Boss as he canceled just about 11 minutes before we were scheduled to go on the air. And you were able to make that decision in 3 minutes and be on and then answer all these questions when you and I both were up rather late last night, I would imagine. I'm operating on about 4 hours and 52 minutes of sleep, so I'm ready to go home and take a nap. I bet you are, too.
You know, we got a long day ahead of us, man. You don't know how big this county is until you're having to travel all over it, picking up signs, you know.
That's one way to look
at it. Golly, it's a big county.
Which brings us to the subject that there are more highway miles in Williamson County than any other county in southern Illinois. And Ron is now, Jim is intimately aware of that fact now. Of course, the Ron I'm thinking about is Ron Ellis, so you defeated him last night, but it was a close one in my map by 238 votes. And once again, Jim, congratulations.
Thank you very much, Tom. Usually primaries are fairly close anyway. You know, I've been in a primary every time I ran. And it's never easy, you know. But
now,
you just do the best you can and leave it up to the voters, and that's the way it should be.
And now time to go to work. News Radio, WJPF.